everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night live from Monster Mania. But this is just the three of us and Kyle because it's very early in the morning. And
but Kyle does not have a does mic. Not watch movies anymore.
Yeah. No, he watched Pieces, which Brian interpreted as he watched pieces of the movie we're about to discuss.
Which isn't bad. It's not a bad assumption.
So we're talking about 1989's Leviathan. As always, this is part of the Listener Submitted Month. So this one was submitted to us by Craig, and he said, "Hello, Matt, Scott, and Brian. You made it. You made it onto the email.
You know, someone acknowledged my existence.
that makes two of us.
I may have missed the window for viewer requests. You did not. But what the hell? Here it goes. I suggest 1989's Leviathan. I've never heard you guys talk about creature slash horror at the sea movies, and this was a movie that I watched a lot in the early 90s. You've got a cast that includes RoboCop, Rambo's Colonel, and a Ghostbuster, all dealing with a monster. So what more could you ask for? Love the podcast. Keep up the fantastic discussions." This was a fun one.
It was very fun. I really appreciate being acknowledged in that email, so thank you for that. Look at me, Ma, how I'm living. Emails. I'm kicked back, relaxed in my bed. I'm drinking an espresso monster because I'm fancy and also dank. And I just really feel like I made it. Yeah. I wanted to say that. I made it.
Matt was talking about the level of lazy that Brian had this morning because he's like reclined on the bed. And he was like, "Is this going to work? Because we have these boom mics." I was like, "Don't worry, sweetie, I'll fix it." And so I brought it closer to his face so he didn't even have to stretch at all.
Yeah, it's really important for people to understand this. I am not spoiled or bougie. I'm just lost. It's not like, "Here, do this for me." It's like, "Can you please help me?"
No, Brian is a little boy. Yeah. Luckily, we're all relatively good at being morning people. But
he was on like the Mania floor for 20 minutes, and he looked like a deer in headlights for all 20 of those minutes.
No, you brought him in, and I was like, "Brian!" And then I was like, "Oh, this poor child." it's every fear that I've had for him for the last 2 months.
You ever read that Dr. Seuss book, "Have You Seen My Mother?" Because
that's exactly how I look. And the thing is, because everyone thought it was a bit, they're like, "Ah, Brian's gonna be so awkward because, you know, he's awkward Brian," and then like, "Oh wow, he is really awkward."
We were in our friend's hotel room for a little bit last night.
wait, and so I looked preface up, it though preface yeah. it with the way that it happened was that we recorded and then you're like, "Yo, I'm gonna go up and see some friends that work Mania," and Kyle and I were like, "Well, we'll come." Yeah. And then Brian's like, I think I may come for a minute." And yeah, like he was like, "I just need this much socialization." Yeah.
just a tad.
Well, the funniest part was, I don't even know if you witnessed this because you were talking to somebody.
Allison, probably.
I looked at Brian and he's just standing there and I said, "You all right?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I was like, "Because I know there's a lot of people you don't know." He goes, "As long as I'm not required to talk to anybody, I'm doing fine."
See,
sit back and observe.
I wish that I could be like that, but I was talking to Kyle about this last night. Is like when we don't like silence, so we don't do well with just observing. I wish that I could, but it's like when
you were bringing fire in that party.
Oh yes.
Oh, it was because I was drunk.
Yeah, like you were throwing so much shade.
What was I making fun of Allison for?
Everything. You said you were making fun of how young she was.
Yeah, like, she's like 11 years younger than me.
You were like, "I know that you had to have your mom co-sign half those tests."
Oh yeah, I remember that now.
And then she said, "No, I got these when I was 18." And you said, "Oh, was that last week?"
Man, yeah, you get like 2 ounces of whiskey in me, and I am like, I should go on RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, it's just
so here's the thing.
Yes, exactly. Like, I will read anyone.
So you might think that we're just talking about random shit, but for a brief moment, this movie's about killer alcohol.
So. Yeah, dude. So Leviathan is a great movie that no one thinks is great until they rewatch it. Like I love it because I love special effects like this. And but this is just the thing under. This is like what would have happened if Ursula from the Little Mermaid and the Thing from John Carpenter's The Thing were to have like a baby.
Oh, Okay. That was nicer than what I said.
Wait, what did you say?
Fuck.
If they copulated.
And it's got, the first note I wrote was, holy shit, this cast. Like, as I was watching the credits come up, I'm like, hey, it's Buckaroo Banzai. Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ernie Hudson. All right. Daniel Stern.
Now, yeah, this movie, I said it last night.
Daniel Stern is the worst person in this movie.
Though. It's Suicide Squad, but instead of Marvel villains, it's just 90s family movie.
DC villains.
Yeah. DC, whatever. I'm not a comic book guy.
Yeah, bullshit. So,
I mean, I am, but I'm more of a Heathcliff kind of guy. Yeah.
I love his self-deprecating humor.
Yeah.
Also, Amanda Pay is the one who plays Willie,
okay.
the future astronaut. She's in The Kindred.
Nice.
Ooh. Which is also a movie about... Were you on The Kindred episode?
Yeah, he was on Kindred. On Kindred. Yes,
you
I
loved
was.
Kindred.
I did.
Yeah.
Dude, Kindred is so... In the words of Brian Kelly, it's dank.
Very dank.
There's some weird editing choices in this movie that is a little like...
What bothered you?
So the last like 5 minutes is edited like hyper speed. And we'll
I have
that.
Words for the ending of this movie. Like that. There's one very large, glaring problem with this movie, and it's in that last 2 minutes. But I thought that the pacing was really good until
then.
No,
the pacing's good, and the other one that I thought was a weird edit is that it's a really weird jump cut where you've got Daniel Stern, and I think the guy's name is DeJesus, and they're fighting.
Oh,
they're fighting, and it's this loud fight, and then it just immediately cuts to a close-up of Peter Walker's face.
Weller's face.
And it's like, it goes from all this noise to complete silence, and he's just like, hey guys, cut it out over there.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a weird edit.
And then he was like, my name's Peter Sellers, and you might remember me from The Order with Mark Addy, who was in Jack Frost with Michael Keaton, who was in Beetlejuice. And I was like, thanks for giving me the Beetlejuice thing.
Much easier than the last one that we did.
Yeah, but yeah, Daniel Stern is an awful character in this movie, and also
six pack.
Yeah, six pack. What is it? Oh, mama, what a pair!
That woman. What do we know her from?
I feel like I didn't recognize any of the girls in this.
They kind of look like people. Like the one girl kind of looks like Dottie from.
That's
Beauty
right.
Adventure,
that's what I was seeing.
And the other girl kind of looked like the woman from Austin Powers and. Bedazzled or whatever.
Elizabeth
Hurley.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Goodwill versions of both of them.
No. I actually think, Elizabeth Hurley is a supermodel, so she's fucking beautiful. But I also think that Amanda Pays is like really, really gorgeous. And she's like, if I had the two of them next to each other in front of me and they were like, you can only take one of us on a date, I probably go with Amanda Pays because she seems like she's more down to earth.
Nope. I would take Dottie, but in depth.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about Dottie or like the I'm not talking about the two women in this movie. I'm talking Elizabeth Hurley versus Amanda Pays.
Oh, yes.
So are we going for the Dior or the Target version is in your assessment here? I would definitely go for Amanda Pays. But no, if Kmart Dottie and Kmart Elizabeth Hurley are in front of us, I might go with Dottie as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She was like really fun. I really wish she's like the character that had the least amount of development in the movie, though.
She was like Dottie, but didn't sound like Tommy Pickles. It was like everything you had. It's almost disrespectful. I feel like Dottie is the Target Dottie, and this is the higher class Dottie.
Yeah, maybe if she got some actual character development in this film, we could make a better assessment like that. I don't know.
So the movie also has it's weird because there's some special effects that are amazing. Like, really cool. A lot of the body
stuff.
You've
said this before, because we've talked about this movie. I think that I've picked this as, like, a double feature at least once.
Yeah, I've never seen this before this
year. Oh.
This is my first time watching it.
Really?
But I will say that the spider did not age well.
No. But even, like, here's the thing about practical effects.
Sometimes
in general. Well, no, what I was going to say is, in general, like, just if we're generalizing things here, I would say... But I would argue that it's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pizza.
That is true.
So, like, special effects are always going to be better when they're...
Bad analogy for hungry-ass Brian over
there. Oh, yeah, Brian.
I've been looking for pizza for 24 hours.
Yeah, check out our Instagram, because Brian found a stack of pizza boxes and it destroyed his soul.
So we got 50% there.
Yeah. He got the smell but not the taste or actual, you know, like food in his belly.
And Scott, just so I can back you up on that, when you say special effects in pizza, you strictly mean makeup. Right.
I mean practical effects. I don't mean CGI, because like practical effects are always going to be better than CGI.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because like, there's bad CGI.
Like even yeah. Oh my God.
Although I wish we could have CGI'd some longer short shorts on the Daniel Stern when he walks in there.
I don't know, man. I like those thighs, man.
He also, if we're just talking about six pack, beyond his like, what a pair line, he also says, if he was, I believe this is when he's talking about being up in, you know, topside, he goes, if I was up there, I'd be drinking brew and eating pussy.
Yeah.
He's just such a caricature of that 80s douchebag, like, oil rig guy.
That no one actually wants to hang out with.
Like, no, but they're also, everybody's like, oh, you.
Yeah. Well, that's an 80s thing. That's, I mean, we just did cheerleader camp and like,
yeah,
just an 80s thing. Where it's like, oh,
but if we had the fat fuck
predator.
If we had the fat fuck from cheerleader camp down at the bottom of the ocean, he'd be way less repugnant than Daniel Stern here. Like Daniel Stern is quite possibly the biggest douchebag in any movie we've ever discussed.
But we're all friends with the Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
Like, it's the guy that's been your friend since you were a child, and you're like, he really sucks, but I don't want to admit that I made a bad investment, so I'm just going to ride it out and hope that there's an endearing side of him. There never is. He dies before that happens.
No, but he does have one of the moments that made me laugh out loud, which is anyone falling in slow motion underwater is going to get a laugh out of me. He goes, whoa!
Two questions. Well, one, I love those 7 foot tall tube worms that are in that trench. But and that's also like, that was practical effects.
Yeah.
If that was even remotely CGI'd, it would have looked absurd.
It would have looked like trash.
It looks great in this movie now, but still. But did you guys notice the part where there's a basketball hoop on the outside of their rig?
No.
At the bottom of the ocean.
No, but why would that be there?
Who's playing fucking hoops in the bottom of the ocean? Because like how if you're, that's like trying to play hoops on the moon, but worse. Because like
it's like trying to play hoops if you're any of the three people. No.
But so you can't shoot, but that would make a sick dunk contest.
Oh yeah.
But here's the thing: is that you gravity to.
Do you see how slow they moved during everything? One of them was,
have you ever tried to walk underwater?
I was going to say, one of them was lacking oxygen and there was not a lot of like forward momentum or panic. So I can't imagine the energy that it would take to really get up there to dunk a
basketball.
And
they have X amount of oxygen in their suits. Are they really playing hoops down there?
Yeah, they have an absurdly low amount of oxygen in their suits. Like, I feel like they have about 20 minutes of oxygen in those suits.
Yeah, and full disclosure, one of my true fears is to fucking drown, because there was one time when I was in the pool like an idiot by myself as a child, and we had an above ground pool, and so you had to step down on the ladder, and like an idiot, because you're not supposed to do this, I went face forward down the ladder, the steps, instead of like butt forward, how you're supposed to, and my foot slipped and like my leg got hooked in the in between the stairs.
Yeah.
And I was like drowning, and I like figured it out, and I was like, oh. But I'll never forget that. And now, that's one of my fears, is like dying.
Has
drowning.
All three of us had an almost drowning incident? I know Brian has. Yeah.
I fell into the Galibus pool eating bread, and I got rescued still eating the bread. I got stuck behind our stairs, and then the one, it wasn't,
wait,
an
stuck behind
drowning.
Have I told that story to you guys before?
No, the one that you just
getting
told?
Stuck behind the stairs, because like I'm having this weird deja vu, like Brian's told me that story before.
That may have just been you guys talking one day.
Yeah, right? No, we used to do like the whirlpool. And in order for
did you guys have an above ground pool too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
is that a Midwestern thing?
I think so.
Yeah,
okay.
And I would try to like pretty much Willard in Charlie's Angels, My Body, through the thing, and then one day I got too fat and I got stuck. And then the other one, I didn't actually almost drown, but I thought about it for the past 23 years about how it could have went the other way, was I did a sailor dive into our pool.
A sailor dive?
A sailor dive is when you jump in and you grab, you, it's a dive, but you grab your ankles.
Oh, yeah.
And I just nailed my head right on the ground. And for the past 20 years, I just think about how I could have snapped my neck.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about the time that I was trying to save you at the beach, and oh, I kept laughing.
I thought we were keeping it to a pool.
No.
No, yeah, the ocean almost got me.
The tide, this was, I felt so bad. The tide got him. And
where is this?
This was at the Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore, oh.
And I'm trying to save him, but every time that I'm like right about to get him, like I'm arm's length away, the wave would move from his face, and he'd go, "Help me." And I would start laughing, and it just happened like three times until finally my mom was like, "What are you doing?" And she like saved him.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is something that ties into something that I was thinking about on the airport, on the airplane. Is I don't have anxiety. I think it's important for everyone to know that I don't have anxiety. I have realism, because anxiety is this unrealistic fear. And my thing is, when I try to walk through my anxiety, all of those unrealistic fears realistically happen. Like the ocean getting sucked in. I got sucked in. Flying back on Christmas. So I don't know if I told the story, but I'm going to tell it now. So we were flying back on Christmas, and I really had to pee. And Jade was like, "Just go pee." And I was like, "I don't like peeing on a plane. It's just, I feel like people are watching me. It's just, it's not going to go well." She's like,
she's such a saint for dealing with all of your insecurities. I mean, I'd say that about my wife too. So
I get up and I walk all the way down, and the woman goes, "You need to have your seatbelt on. Go sit down." So I awkwardly go sit down, and I'm waiting, and then the seatbelt thing goes off, and Jade was like, "Go pee." And I'm like, "I think there's someone in the bathroom." And she was like, "I don't think so. Just go." So I get up, and the flight attendant's like, "There's someone in the bathroom, and you can't wait. So go try that one." So I walk all the way down, and as I get to the last three rows, the flight attendant brings a card out. Now we have two options. She can just stare at me until I walk back to my seat, or back up 2 feet so I can go to the bathroom. She chose the former.
Yeah.
So then I had to walk all the way back to my seat while people were watching me. And finally went to the bathroom after 20 minutes of everyone like whispering about me. It's irrelevant to Leviathan, but I think it's important.
It's water.
Know. Yeah. Everything that I fear when I try to walk through those fears become a reality.
Yeah. Yeah. I as an anxious person myself, I'm even with the medication that I take, it's the what if that kills you, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so the what if of this movie is, would you rather get eaten? Well, you don't really get eaten, you get consumed, and you know. So here's the difference between The Thing and Leviathan, is that Leviathan, like the Jesus at one point is like, "Kill me," you know. So yeah. he's like so you are still sentient within the being, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is weird, because that doesn't really make sense, in that it infects some people and they lose their free will, but they still have it. Like the doctor, I don't know. Like I guess we're looking at it expecting too much internal logic.
I mean, really, it's kind of just you're watching because the special effects are
dope. Dude, that's why I watch it. Yeah. I've watched this movie like six
times.
That
mouth in the hand and like stuff like that.
I think that mouth in the hand, it didn't age very well.
It didn't age well, but I still liked it.
I like the concept. Yeah. But the thing about it is that I don't understand why it would go to the hand. I feel like it would...
I think
it would erupt from his chest. Like it's erupting from his chest because he's like, right? Yeah. Like, but then it's on his hand. You don't ever see. Do you ever see anything come out of his chest?
No, man. It's the old fake out.
Not an old fake out at all. It's just a 80s fake out.
The one thing. So they find this sunken ship called the Leviathan, and Six Pack.
Oh, are we actually going to explain what this movie is?
Well,
about?
Well, I just want to talk about this one thing. So Six Pack has this safe that he found while looking in this thing, and they start going through it, and he takes a little whiskey bottle or whatever.
He takes the flask.
And there's a scene where the camera, because I didn't know anything about the movie, camera just slowly zooms in on the safe, and then it freezes on the safe. And I was like, is this a killer safe movie? Like,
you knew what you were getting when you were going into this movie. You just didn't know if there were going to be two killers, right?
Yeah, it's like maybe that safe has got all the
yeah,
issues.
That's a really weird editing choice.
Yeah, there's
well.
A few, like I said, there's a few weird editing choices, but otherwise the movie's great. Like, it's a really good movie.
This is a real good, like, party movie, I think.
Oh, yeah, the second half of this movie is like, but this is from that, like, 1989, there was like three or four different movies that were like, hey, The Abyss made money. Like,
you're right. Yeah. And I'm not even going to. There's Deep Star 6.
And there's at least one more that I'm forgetting. But like.
Well, there's. Yeah, I think the three of them are Deep Star 6, Abyss, and Leviathan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There is one more that I haven't watched. And it's so. It looks so cheap.
Yeah. And then like that. Like Aquatic Horror never went away. Like he still always had like. Deep Blue Sea, Deep Rising, like stuff like that, always like popped up. But
man,
these were,
dude, you're just
very...
burning through all the possible double features right
now. Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you really smoked
but,
me.
But
not yep, me. I got an extra one. If you
but
want.
Like, this is definitely one of those movies where you can tell it was definitely a reaction to like
The Abyss.
Hey, let's do The Abyss, but let's like throw in a little bit of The Thing while we're doing it.
Yeah. Well, did you guys ever see that? There was like a post on Reddit. I don't remember if it was our movies or what. But the set that they made for The Abyss.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen like the abandoned set from The Abyss?
No.
It's super cool because it's huge. And it's in like Florida or Georgia, I can't remember, but like they had to make all these crazy gigantic concrete structures for it and then put them underwater. Like it's insane. And when I was watching this, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, okay, this is a much smaller soundstage, you know, but they had to do an underwater thing, and I was thinking, like, I wonder what the scope of this was versus The Abyss, because, like, I haven't seen The Abyss in a long time, because it's not really my thing, because The Abyss is just Close Encounters under the water.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't like Close Encounters, so it's just, like, it doesn't do it for me, you know, that kind of, like...
Close Encounters, I feel like, is a really good 90-minute movie that's buried in a 2.5-hour movie. Like,
yeah.
Is that Spielberg?
Yeah, that's Spielberg. And I think that there's really... Like, there's parts in Close Encounters that will always be in my thoughts because it's so well...
The mashed potato mountain.
Yeah, well, like, there's really good scenes, but, like, when you actually sit down to watch it, I'm always like, oh, God, I forgot how long this is.
Yeah, but that's kind of Spielberg, you know? Like, he's got...
I mean, Jaws moves...
like, no, actually, I find Jaws to be really hard to watch.
Oh, I love that's like a.
I know that's one of your top five like, movies ever, but
oh,
I just,
it's so good.
I think I've seen it three times in my life, and the second and third time were a kind of a slog. Like yeah. I just don't.
It happens.
That pacing just doesn't do it for me. It's like too much drama, and
that's definitely
like, it really
That's a combination. That's a perfect storm of things you couldn't stand because it's like that Spielberg pacing but then mixed in with that 70s pacing and
yeah.
That's just like that's a recipe for disaster
for Scott Rogers.
They sprinkle in crazy old men, which just makes every movie good. Like the pacing on Jaws works just for black eyes, blood eyes.
Yeah. You ever see a shark's eyes, chief? It's like a doll's eyes.
Like a doll's eyes. Yes.
I do love quoting that movie. Because Quint's just such a... I've talked about it before, but there's a deleted scene from Jaws that makes me laugh every single time where Quint's just screaming at a kid playing a clarinet, and it makes me laugh.
I just need to find a Quint to be my roommate. Like, the crazy old guy in horror movies, like, I want him to be my roommate to put everything into perspective.
Dude, like, when me and Jade are in the Harbinger? Because he's just going to be like, you're doomed.
Yeah. No, not that guy. Like, just someone that's like, you know, it's like, I can't stand this, Jade. You're being so selfish. It is the wife's wedding. You let the wife plan, the man pays, it's the way it goes. I'm like, oh, thanks, Quint.
Oh, no, you want to live in Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
A lot of history up in that
house.
You guys both, that's how I know that you guys are brothers, because you guys went for that, and I was going to be like, the story of a man shot Estonia.
We just went for the one that South Park wrote.
Oh, okay. That also explains a lot. So,
a lot of history up in them house.
So Is there a tagline for this movie?
If there is, I certainly didn't write it down.
Because there's a line where somebody says, "Don't fuck with Mother Nature." I think it's Peter Sellers
probably
says it. And
we keep saying it's Peter Weller.
Peter Weller. Sorry.
Peter Sellers is the Pink Panther.
Yeah, sorry. Peter
would be so
Peter
much
Weller.
Better.
I just want to call him Buckaroo Banzai. I'm just going to say Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, that works.
Because that's easier for me to remember because there's nobody.
Or RoboCop. Like... He's
well, actually,
RoboCop.
I have RoboCop under the sea is what my first note is. But yeah, I feel like Don't Fuck With Mother Nature would be the most baller tagline for this movie, but it would never have passed muster.
It was like Don't F With Mother Nature. It's like, well, that
wow, that's,
pulls it.
Yeah, this movie is a hard R without any boobies, and they could definitely up it with some fucks. But I also have another line that I wanted to mention that I don't remember who yells it at DeJesus, but DeJesus is talking about how he wants to go ski.
Yeah.
He's like, if I'm going to get out of here, I'm not going to die, and I'm going to go skiing in the Alps or something like that. And someone smashes his hands down on the table by DeJesus and goes, "They don't ski in Spanish Harlem." Great
yeah,
line.
Jesus.
Why do you got to ruin that for him?
So let's talk about the end of the movie, because, I mean, really, there's no words that will do justice. Once the monster shows up, it's fucking dope. And the kills are dope, and it's a fun, like, it's just a fun time.
There's, at the end, too, there's another amazing tagline, another amazing line that RoboCop says. He goes, "Say ah, motherfucker."
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I want to get to. So they get...
Oh, it looks so stupid.
They get to the surface.
And I was thinking at this moment, and then I'll let you finish. I was like, you know what I really respect about this movie? They go against the formula, and they're letting a black man
survive. Oh, yeah.
That's my problem with the movie.
Someone was just like, oh, shit, we forgot to kill Ernie Hudson. Got to bring back the monster. But before that, there's this scene that is so shitty where they're just like, oh, no, sharks. And it's just like stock footage of sharks.
Why?
No
and
one got
they
hurt.
Just swim away.
Yeah. It makes me think that there was actually sharks on set because they reacted how sharks would react. Was just like swam and was like, people, I'm going to mosey on.
Didn't somebody kick one in the face?
It was, I could not believe what was happening when that popped up. I'm like, why are there sharks? And then
the end of this movie is a fucking mess. Like it ruined, what well, doesn't ruin,
well,
but
it
ruins
cuts,
the pacing.
Well, it ruins the pacing. And then when he's like, there's like 14 cuts in a matter of 3 seconds when he like throws the dynamite into the monsters.
Boom, boom, boom,
I was
boom,
just
boom.
Like, what the fuck was that? Like, I thought I watched the last minute of this movie and fast forward by accident because it happened so quick.
I feel like they must have had a director or like an editor. I was going to say director of photography, but it's probably somebody that was like doing the editing. And they were like, I'm not editing the last 2 minutes of this movie. And so then they got like the junior intern and he was like, I just watched a bunch of MTV.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a music video.
I did notice Pauly Shore for a quick second in that explosion. So I think you're right.
Hey, buddy.
It's the weasel.
So if you go back and watch anything with Pauly Shore in it, as an adult in, you know, 2019, it's insufferable. Megan loves Son-in-Law, and it's hard. It's a hard watch. I mean, I love Carlo Gugino, so I tried.
I was listening to a podcast.
Encino Man has to hold up.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah. Encino Man holds up the best of all of
it'll
them.
It'll hold up for us, Brian. We watched a lot of Pauly Shore.
And one that definitely holds up with Pauly Shore is A Goofy Movie.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that barely counts.
Yeah, so I was listening to a podcast where someone was talking about being a Pauly Shore fan. He's like, you know, I loved Son-in-Law and Encino Man. He goes, and then he kind of lost me at Jury Duty, but then Biodome came out and he brought me right back in.
I was going to say Biodome's terrible.
In the Army Now's great.
I enjoy In the Army Now.
So I have a friend from high school who's long-term significant other. They're not married, but they're, you know, like they cohabitate and, you know, basically married. He's in that movie.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's like, I don't know if he's an extra, but like, I have never met him, but when she and I got reconnected on Facebook, I saw a picture of her man and I was like, he looks kind of familiar. And then a year goes by and she said, oh, we're watching In the Army Now and here's Dan in the movie. And I was like, I remember his face.
Wow.
From the movie. It's not he had like a bit part in the movie, but I don't even know. I have no idea why his face sticks out, because I've seen In the Army Now like twice, and ever, and it not for the last 15 years easily.
We used to watch Pauly Shore movies in the Kelly house way more than we ever should have been watching Pauly Shore movies, to the point that whenever I serve jury duty, I always think of Abe Vigoda yelling penis while banging a gun.
Yeah. Pauly Shore and Ernest, man. That was our hassle. But I love Pauly Shore.
Speaking of which, donate to the Patreon and listen to our episode on Ernest Goes to Jail.
Yeah.
I'm so mad about that. You guys suck.
You have no clue how great Ernest Goes to Jail is. You'll learn.
I don't yet.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Is it better than Ernest Scared Stupid?
I think it's better than Ernest Scared Stupid, but I know a lot of people who say it's the second best after Scared Stupid, but it is definitely the highest, one of the higher ranked
Ernest
films.
So did the Chiodo brothers do Ernest Scared Stupid?
No, they just did the troll. They gave the troll life.
Oh, man.
I think the Chiodo brothers literally only directed Killer Clowns and nothing else.
Really?
I think they were more special effects team.
Okay. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I was just listening to the Score to Death with Manfredini, I want to say, that was on with him. He was talking about Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and he was like, oh, the Chiodo brothers, they had this blah, blah. And I was like, man, Killer Clowns is such a great movie.
It's so good.
And then I was also thinking about the fact that they just repainted the Killer Clowns and made
for
them
the
into trolls,
yeah,
and they're so scared stupid. Which just really, it is so charmingly low budget.
But it's also showing, like, resourcefulness. Like, I feel like we forget that one of the things with practical effects was that. Like, it's the same thing with, and I'm sure Brian knows this because him and I are both, like, huge Disney geeks. But, like, Disney doesn't throw away anything at their parks. So, like, if a ride closes, they're just like, how can we gut this animatronic and turn it into what we need it for a different ride?
That's just smart. That's like... Yeah. Recycling, ecological.
Like, half the robots in any of the Star Wars rides are just old animatronics that they're like, all right, we'll tear all of the skin off of it and just put the bare-bone skeleton, like, the robot by itself up there, and that's one of our random robots in the Star Wars.
And
right
they
now.
Always they always leave a piece of it. So in the Star Wars one, the robot from the original is one of the broke-down robots in the walkthrough.
Yeah.
And then in the Winnie the Pooh ride, which used to be
Mr. Toad,
there is... One of the pictures in the story is Mr. Toad looking sad as he hands the deed to his house over to the owl. The Pooh.
Yeah, they do weird shit like that, but that's, it's the little, like, Easter eggs on every ride that are always fun to try to find.
Listen, Disney, as far as capitalism goes, you are my favorite elitist pieces of
Monopoly.
Shit.
Says the guy who doesn't read comics. Or like comic movies.
Like Marmaduke.
you made a fucking blog post that said, sorry, no, I haven't seen the new Marvel movie.
Well, that was just an article that you wrote for one of our newsletters.
Oh, I thought that was on your blog first, and then you just recycled it.
No, he's recycling newsletter stuff.
Yeah, I'm recycling newsletters.
It's funny because it's been a couple months since you've...
Written anything.
Yeah, calling you out.
Yeah, I know. Oh, something's in the works.
All right.
For my angsty teens that are now angsty 30-year-olds.
You're not 30 yet.
I'm almost.
All right, so let's talk about our double features and then go down and spend way too many hours dealing with people.
I still need a towel.
Well, you can hang out here until that towel shows
up. I think
up.
I might just use a shirt to dry myself.
I've done that.
I am a clean person. Yeah. You can use my dry towel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then we can just,
cohabitate.
Our body fluids of, coat.
I just realized we have the do not disturb sign on. So
they would put it outside.
I was going to say, they probably just laid it on the floor this whole time. But
we'll check.
They would have knocked. Oh, no, it's a do not disturb.
No, it has a do not disturb. Yeah. All right, Kyle's
probably
going to check
that.
For us. But,
hey, before, I want to just, a little wizard behind the curtain, you can walk away. I'm just going to say, it's so funny because there are the four of us in this room, and... everything is happening in threes. Like, we had three towels.
Yeah.
We had three tank tops last night because Kyle, Brian, and Matt all slept in tank tops. and then Brian, Kyle, and I all have copious amounts of tattoos. So
and there was three beds.
Yeah, and there's three beds and four people. So, yeah, I got to have the air mattress, and it was Brian. Brian got to have a bed to himself.
Do you know why Brian got to have a bed to himself? Because he told me the reason.
Because you get morning wood?
No, sort of. He goes, I already sleep in bed with a girl who won't have sex with me, so if there's ever a body next to me, I can't help what my body might do.
Like, see, the quote's great, but I feel like the inflection would have been better if I had heard it from him.
Yeah. Oh, it was. It
no,
was
I'm not dissing on you, but he like no one burns a Kelly like a Kelly.
No, we're good at burning ourselves more than the other Kelly sometimes. So yeah, let's do double features real quick. Scott, you were the one that really championed for Leviathan, so how about you kick us off?
Oh, yeah. I was like, guys, we really have to do Leviathan because the special effects are so baller. And you might want to edit me out from saying baller so many times.
I think that's good that people know how you speak.
I talk like that because of you. It's your fucking fault. I say fuck too much because of you. No, that's not my own fault.
Dank is your fault. Ryan brought Dank back into my lexicon.
You say baller a lot, and you also say bonkers.
Bonkers, I say dope.
You say dope a lot. I don't say dope very
much.
You got
me saying bombastic more than I ever did before. Yeah,
bombastic and bomb basketball.
Bombastic.
Things that you guys put into my mind that I say a lot. I emulate people because I'm unhappy with who I am as a person.
You're a chameleon of a person.
Yeah, yeah, he's like the T-1000, but anxiety. So, there are so many movies that all fit into this, like, the same idea. This is like the thing underwater, you know? What?
The way Brian just moved over in his sexy Molly Ringwald on the cover of Breakfast Club post.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking, draw me like one of your French girls.
Ironically, both of them are redheads. Yeah. So that's good. I have a lot. I'm going to pick my number one. Right. And then after you guys do yours, or if you need help, I'll give you some more. But I'm saying the thing is off the table. We've talked about the thing so much that you like cannot pick the thing.
Fair
for
enough.
This.
That wasn't on my list.
Okay.
Go for it.
Harbinger Down is the one that I am picking because it's basically the exact same movie. And what Harbinger Down is the crew that made the remake / prequel to The Thing from 2013 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They were upset because they did all practical effects for that movie.
And they were forced to CGI it anyway.
They didn't get to do the CGI.
Yeah.
There was another company that came in and just basically skinned everything. They just put a CGI skin on everything. And I refused to watch the movie because I've seen the behind the scenes and the making of portions. I don't know if that was on the DVD or what, but it's like on YouTube. And it looked amazing. It looked so authentic. And what they did was so good. And they were upset by that. And so they crowdsourced, I want to say, to do a movie themselves. It's not a good movie because it's, you know, those action movies in the 80s that like stuntmen are like, we're going to make a movie.
Yeah.
It's like really good action, but they don't know how to do the rest of a movie.
Yeah. That's like this with special effects.
Yeah. It was like really, really competent special effects artists who couldn't really write a story. And Lance Henriksen just chewing scenery for like the whole movie. But it's worth a watch. I would probably do that. I'd do them in chronological order, so we'd start with Leviathan and do Harbinger Down, because Harbinger Down is not like a good movie, and so you can kind of zone out. But I think Leviathan is an actual good. It's a good horror movie. I don't think that it's like the best. It would never be in a top 10 list, even aquatic horror.
Yeah.
But I would say that it's like better than Deep Rising.
All right, Brian. What were you gonna do for your double feature?
I would want to match this movie with another movie that takes place in sea that has great practical effects. Therefore, I would pair this with 1977's Orca.
All right. I love Orca.
I've never seen it.
It's so bad.
Yeah, but it's terrible practical effects.
It's a Jaws ripoff movie.
Right.
But the Orca bites off Bo Derek's leg at one point.
Yeah.
And it is... Like, the way it's cut,
she survive?
Yeah, she still survives, just without a leg. But it's bad. It's a bad movie. I think there's, like, a line of dialogue where a scientist is like, you know, the orca is the most deadly beast in all the sea. And it's like, it's like one of those movies where no matter what the animal is, they just have to make sure that they stress it's the most deadly beast in whatever. So my double feature is going to be a little bit different. I'm taking it from the perspective of I had some people over. We were watching this movie, and as we were watching it, we're like, Yo, you know what this is kind of reminding me of and we should watch after this? So I'm going with Society. Because as the bodies were melting, I was like, man, this looks like the ending of Society.
Yeah, the shunt. That just reminded me, a couple nights ago, I had... So this whole week before Mania, I was having... Well, until like Thursday night. So like Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So four nights in a row, I was having nightmares about Monster Mania because my anxiety of like the drive. It's really just the drive.
Yeah.
The drive here always stresses me out because I'm driving by myself and I don't want to fall asleep and wreck and die. So I had dreams where... I got here too late, or I got here 2 days early, or, you know, stuff like that. But then Tuesday or Wednesday night, my last one was I got here and then I got sucked into a shunt.
Oh, Jesus.
It was so fucking weird.
I'm proud of you for stepping out of your fears and going up to that hotel room because we were totally about to have a shunt. So that was Leviathan from 1989 as picked by, I think I said his name was Steve, so, or Craig, picked Craig. By Craig. Craig, thanks for this great suggestion. Usually this would be the point where listener submitted month would wrap up because it's the end of April, but there was one other movie that we all kind of were like, all right, we do have to talk about this one too. So stay tuned for that. You know, kill some time by playing a video game or something and stay, come back. But in the meantime, you can rate, review, and subscribe and go ahead and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/HMN podcast. And all of our social media is basically HMN podcast, but you can find us, you know, searching Horror Movie Night, you'll find us. Anyway, we'll be back with another episode next week.
Signing off.
Bye bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.